Hello, and welcome to another episode of Propelling Mobility, Weichert Workforce Mobility's podcast for relocation professionals. Over the last few episodes, we've focused on the coronavirus, certainly the topic of the day, impacting workforce mobility, really unlike anything else in recent memory. We've addressed some of the policy and program issues and the real estate and appraisal issues. And in today's episode, we're going to focus on some of the people issues and how this is all impacting the mobile workforce and the people who manage them. Our subject matter experts for today's discussion are Laura Levinson. She's practice leader with Weichert's Advisory Services Group, and Mercedes D'Angelo, senior consultant with Cultural Awareness International, which provides cross-cultural training and other services for individuals and families relocating around the world. I want to thank you both for joining us today, and I will get right to the questions with a question for Laura. Laura, duty of care is something that's become an increasingly important topic over the last several years with a number of catastrophic events, both man-made and weather-related. This is certainly one of the worst in our lifetimes that we're experiencing now. From your perspective and from your work every day, how is the coronavirus impacting the people who are actually being moved, the international assignees? And in your opinion, what should a company's duty of care to those people look like during challenging times such as these?
Yeah, it's a great question, Tim. We've been so focused on how we should respond as companies that sometimes we forget about the individuals, or it's easy to not forget about them, but just sort of not talk about them. I would have to say, from what I'm hearing, it's impacting everyone differently. And of course, we're hearing stories of courage and strength and families separated and struggling to figure out how to get together, people stranded in places, and so forth. And you, on the other side of the coin, you have folks who are upset because their closet door came off the hinges and they can't wait any longer for it to be fixed. So they're literally coming unhinged over small matters. So I would say it really depends, but like anything else, sort of like a grief process, people feel different things at different times. So I think the duty of care that companies really have is to recognize that, first and foremost, that people are going through different things at different times. And everybody really kind of needs to be patient with each other. Equally, those who are going on assignments or who are transferring have to recognize that their leadership, their company, we're all in the same boat. We all have no prior experience with this, and we're all trying to figure it out at the same time. But first and foremost, I think communication is the number one concern, making sure that companies make sure that they know where their people are and that they're okay. That's number one.
And in terms of the changes that you're seeing companies make, and I know I would imagine with so much still unknown about the virus and how long we're going to be fighting it, you know, the sort of changes that companies are making to policies and processes or the way they treat their employees. I know a lot of it's unknown, very likely changes happening almost by the minute. But what are you seeing right now?
Change is happening literally by the minute. I mean, I just think about the state I live in. I'm in New York State. And from morning to night, it could be a change from you don't have to wear masks to you have to wear masks. So that's just one small example. But I think the most significant change that has been impacting us is the opening and closing of borders on the international side, and even stateside here in the U.S., the differences in regulations from one state to the next, and the need to shelter in place in one area, but not necessarily in another, in terms of how this all began, gosh, end of February for some folks, but not until the middle to end of March for others. So I think that's one of the most challenging things, is the way that the game seems to change so often. So just like our leaders in the world, really everywhere, are having to change the recommendations and change the rules. So we're having to respond accordingly. So that is definitely one of the more challenging aspects of our jobs. And I think our responsibility as mobility providers is to really try as much as we can to be not only informed, but if possible, when possible, to be one step ahead in predicting and trying to help our clients, for example, back in the very beginning of March, I was traveling to California for an industry conference. And it was obvious that in California and New York, things were already becoming pretty serious. Other places weren't. And so our guidance was then, and even before that, internationally, this is coming. This is not something that's going to stay isolated or that can recognize borders, right? It's going to move around because people move around.
Now, switching to sort of the cultural side of things and thinking about the people who are actually perhaps on assignment in a foreign land while this is occurring, or people who are in the middle of an assignment, people who might have to be brought back from an assignment. There are all various things at play when you consider the assignees and the families who are in the middle of this, and also the people who manage them and move them. Mercedes, from what you see, how is this crisis impacting them, the not just the people who are being moved, but also people moving them?
Thanks for having me, Tim. It's really a pleasure to be here with you and Laura. It's a great question. I mean, there's multiple things that we've been looking at cultural awareness. First thing is, unbelievably, people are still moving. We're still getting initiations for global relocation. Of course, nowhere near the volumes that we were seeing pre-pandemic, but certainly people are still moving. So if we're going to be delivering cultural training or destination services or language training, whatever it may be, the first thing we've had to focus on really quickly was to make all those services virtual. So on the cultural training side, that has not been very difficult to do because we have some experience with it. But on the destination services side, I mean, that's hand-holding on the ground. And obviously, that's changed. So not only how do we coach people through the logistics of setting up in a new location, but also adding some things that we may not have focused on as deeply before the pandemic. For example, how to access emergency care. What healthcare options are there? And, you know, this varies greatly around the world. And for people coming into the United States, for people who've already been on the ground for a while, a lot of them are calling back saying, you know, I've been healthy, I've been going to wellness checkups or whatever, but I'm not sure what to do if I get ill. And it's interesting because I have several family members who are on the front lines, who are either doctors or emergency medical respondents. Like my brother-in-law is a firefighter, and he was saying that people are actually scared to ask for medical care if they break a leg or start feeling heart palpitations because they're worried. So educating international assignees about what people are doing to maintain safety has been an important part also. We do this 30, 60, 90-day follow-up when we do cultural training or destination services, and those have been some of the questions that people have been asking. What should I do? Is it safe? What if my kid gets a really bad ear infection? Understanding telemedicine, explaining some of those things, I think has relieved a lot of stress for a lot of international assignees.
I'm going to stick with you for a second just to ask another question, because we talk a lot about culture shock as being a very real concern, obviously, when companies move employees into a foreign country. Can cultural shock be re-triggered or perhaps resurge during a time of crisis such as this? And if so, what are the types of behavioral issues that can sort of be aggravated or exacerbated by crisis?
Yes. The answer is yes, absolutely. When there is a crisis, we revert back to our very basic and fundamental and deeply entrenched values, beliefs, and our repertoire of reactions. And so, and even our own language, the stressors of a crisis can definitely bring culture shock back. And I had the, I don't know if it's good fortune or bad fortune, of being very much involved in with a Canadian company that did health and productivity services and provided relief and response during 9/11. And we saw international assignees really have a very high resurgence of culture shock. I moved here from Argentina to the United States, to New York or to New Jersey, and I never expected to be in danger, for example. In this situation, this is a global pandemic. So the resurgence of culture shock exists in that people are feeling the fear, the discomfort, and the reactions of, let's say, if you're Asian or Latin American and you've moved here to the United States, and you're seeing the reactions that are culturally appropriate among Americans, and for you, they're not culturally appropriate. They're very different from how you would react. A great example is Asians are, in general, much more group oriented. And so doing what's in the interest of the group, of the community, of the country is much easier. Self-sacrifice for the country is much easier than it is for individualistic countries such as the United States. So you'll start seeing people will have varying degrees of resurgence of culture shock. And one thing that's really important to remember is culture shock has mental health implications. And I want to be really clear because there's such taboos with mental health, Tim. So I actually went to the World Health Organization's website and took the definition of mental health so that I could share it with your audience. And I quote, it's defined as a state of well-being in which every individual realizes his or her own potential, can cope with the normal stresses of life, can work productively and fruitfully, and is able to make a contribution to his or her community. That definition is at odds with this pandemic. And so it's normal for all of us to feel a varying degree of mental health challenges, and whether it's anxiety or frustration or anger. But for the international assignee, that is completely exacerbated by the resurgence of culture shock. And some of the things that people are thinking are, why am I even here? I should be, whether it's Spain or Italy or China or Thailand, I should be where my family is. I should be making sure my elder parents are safe. Who's going to be buying their food for them? They shouldn't be leaving their homes. Today, I was speaking to a colleague who's business partner in Spain's father is hospitalized with the virus and whose mother passed away already of it. For some of these international assignees, they are terrified and they don't want to jeopardize their young children or their spouses by traveling. So they're kind of caught between a rock and a hard place. And this can raise their levels of frustration, their levels of anxiety. It could lead to things like depression or insomnia, lack of sense of humor, just like when you had normal culture shock. And ultimately, it impacts productivity. How can you stay focused on your work when you have these concerns or these mental health issues coming up again? And on a more extreme level, unfortunately, many of our international assignees are experiencing xenophobia because during a crisis, us versus them becomes more obvious. We might have international assignees feeling, oh, these Americans, I can't believe the way they're responding. Or we may have the local hosts whom they're living with having an adverse reaction to them. I had a recent assignee tell me, somebody told me, why don't you just go back to your country? So this type of maladaptive behavior is not unusual during a crisis, but for the person experiencing it, it could be very detrimental to their well-being. It's a very difficult time for everybody, of course.
No, absolutely. As they say, these things bring out the best and the worst in all of us, fortunately and unfortunately alike. But some very good insight there, appreciated. Jumping back to Laura, no one has a crystal ball, but looking ahead, what impact do you see this having on corporations and their expat assignee transferee activity? And looking ahead, are there any ways that you think companies will be adjusting their policies and processes to sort of accommodate I hate to use the word the new normal because no one knows what we're going to be like on the other side of this, but just if we could use that for a second, what are you seeing and how do you think companies are going to respond?
It's the current normal, right? Current as in the next 5 minutes of normal.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I think for the most part, we're already seeing things that I think will carry over. So first of all, many more exceptions just by de facto the fact, you know, someone is stuck somewhere, they have to have an extension on their stay. So some relaxing of the immigration rules. I don't think that will last. I think that's just because there's no choice. But folks are extending their time in temporary living if they're delayed in finding a more permanent housing situation. And by the way, these apply to both domestic moves and international moves. I think there's a lot more latitude around giving individuals an extension on their benefits in general. Some of the domestic move benefits are time sensitive, but already we're seeing that rule being relaxed. Interestingly enough, in this industry, in the last few years, there's been a movement towards lump sum, but now we're seeing that reversing a bit because of the duty of care that companies are feeling to provide services in kind. So we're seeing some movement back towards providing the actual services rather than the lump sum. But of course, those who are already in a lump sum situation, in some cases, are also getting additional lump sums or temporary cost of living adjustments if they're stuck somewhere where they weren't expecting to be. I think that in terms of policy, we've already been experiencing more flexible policy alternatives, an increase in requests for core flex policies or some aspect of or way in which to add flexibility to a program. So I do think we're going to see that more of that by necessity. And in terms of process, I think Mercedes was right on the money. I mean, there's definitely a movement towards putting as many things as possible online or virtual. So everything from virtual tours of homes to be purchased or rented or even temporary living, that activity has moved virtual. Even in some places, signing of documents that are critical to home sale and home purchase, some of that has moved online. It does vary by location, which is what makes it so challenging for us to stay on top of. So that is a change that we've seen. And I think generally, when it goes to just going back to exceptions for a moment, sometimes the exception approval process can be somewhat long if it has to go through a few channels. So those, we're seeing those things tightening up, the decision-making happening much more quickly by necessity. In terms of long-term and the crystal ball, I think it's so hard to say because I think what we're going to see is variations by industry and also by location. So I think we're going to see some companies and countries loosening restrictions little by little. And then at the same time, we're going to see as a reaction because of pent-up demand, there will be some situations where movement will burst. And then I think there will also be situations where companies will have lost a considerable amount of revenue and will seriously reconsider moves that hadn't yet been authorized or maybe were authorized and delayed and now they may change their mind. But to go back to something that Mercedes said earlier, which was fascinating to me too, is that there are still very many industries that are still putting forth initiations and trying to line up as much as they can to prepare for when the doors open, even if they open slowly.
I think some great prognostication there, even without crystal balls from both of you. I think some very good insight there. Just to kind of close things out with a final question for each of you, Mercedes, I'll start with you. What are some of the positive approaches or solutions that we, and when I say we, I mean RMCs like Weikert, intercultural trainers such as Cultural Awareness International, that we can help with either by doing ourselves or encouraging our corporate clients or individual clients to consider?
Checking in with our international assignees is number one, and doing, you know, a good job of it, which is more than, hey, are you okay? But are you okay? How's your family doing? What could we do to help you? And to do it with some kind of regularity, because unfortunately, this is going to go on for a while longer. And today, somebody may be, you know, it's only month two, I'm hanging in there. But in month three or month four, things for them may have changed greatly. It may have changed also for their families in whichever country they may be. So I think that's really important from the RMC perspective. From our perspective, we've always had an element of resiliency training in our cultural training for outbound assignees, as well as repatriating assignees. But we're trying to beef that up a bit more because resilience is really the only way we're going to get through this. And that means having an open mind. It means being intellectually curious about what is going on and what the future may be like. It means problem solving and sometimes sitting down with a trainer prior to relocating and talking about the different types of problems that could potentially happen is a therapeutic way of being able to address the problem. So we're really trying to encourage flexibility, sociability, etc. Do you hear that noise?
I do not. Is that something?
It's my husband vacuuming. I'm going to kill him.
Oh, no. Oh,
I didn't hear it.
Got to keep a clean home. It's essential. We're all going to be hunkered down. That's important. We have to have
I shouldn't complain. I mean, I know there is a lot of women who would give anything to have a husband who'd vacuum, but does he have to do it when I'm doing a podcast?
that's real life. That's real life in a pandemic. We gotta capture that. And Laura, what are some of the resources that you've been recommending to your clients or either using yourself to sort of keep that sense of, I don't know, you know, serenity now, just that sense of keep an even keel throughout this and perhaps also keep one eye towards the future?
Hey, clearly, you know me, Tim, otherwise you wouldn't even ask that question. I think it is definitely challenging. And I've been sort of trying to, even in my own mind, think, what about this is the most challenging? And on a personal note, I'll just say, I think it's the lack of control over the situation, the inability to know when it's going to be over, and the inability to control the situation. So I'm a person who has worked from home for a long time and have never found it really particularly challenging. Now I'm finding it challenging. The distraction of this looming problem is definitely there. And then, of course, the inability to go and do what I want to do, like go to a store or go see a movie or go to a museum, all these things are off the table. So the lack of control and then the need for creativity of how to spend the time. And I think there's some amount of pressure, too, not to squander the time because as Westerners, talking about culture, we're so bad at just being. We always have to be doing something and productive. So I think it's been an interesting exercise in just being. And Tim and Mercedes, I think you both know I'm really into yoga and meditation. And so I feel very fortunate that I personally have had both of these tools to go to in this situation. And so those are two things that I see other companies recommending. I see things going on where, especially with some of our pharma companies, offering group meditations, online virtual yoga. There's the opportunity to have a flexible schedule in some places. And in some cases, people can, because everyone is virtually working these days, it definitely changes things. I think for myself, I think it's really important to have some routines and rituals, even if they're not the same ones and you have to keep trying different ones. I think it's really important. And our team, our Weicker team that Tim and I are part of, we're meeting once a week informally and after hours, and then we're also meeting once a week formally, which is not something we used to do as a group, and it's great. I mean, it's definitely an opportunity for us to all connect. I think people, it's human nature, no matter what culture you're from, to want those kinds of connects. And I do want to echo what Mercedes said before, that it's challenging. Our U.S. culture is very independent and very me-focused. So making that shift away from me to we and realizing that wearing masks and wearing gloves is not necessarily for ourselves, but out of respect for others and making sure we all stay healthy is a big shift. And I think people are catching on to it. I see it when I take my walks. Oh, that's another thing. Walking is a big thing. And I just see it in the behavior of neighbors. And when I do rarely go into a store to get food, there's a level of courtesy. So I am, like everybody else, have my moments, but I'm optimistic about what the future holds in those terms, because I think people are there's no choice. We have to come up with a way to manage through the situation. And just, I think it's really important to be patient with others. We always think about that, but be patient with yourself too through this time.
I think that's beautifully said, Laura, really beautifully said. And who knows, there may be a cultural shift that will come in our country as people are becoming so much more aware of how their individual behaviors impact others. We may start acquiring a bit of a collectivist cultural aspect. It'll be interesting to see if that happens. I just want to mention one last thing, Tim and Laura, that I think is important. Most large companies have employee assistance programs, and many global companies offer expatriate EAPs. So EAPs where the counselors are aware of some of the cultural differences in grieving, cultural differences in expressing stress, and cultural differences in therapeutic modalities. I think it's important to remind your international assignees, if you have that, that they can get counseling. And it doesn't have to be anything really significant. It's just telecounseling, talking to somebody about any feelings that you have. Because as I mentioned earlier, the resurgence of culture shock leads to maladaptive behavior. And maladaptive behavior can be anything little, like biting your nails when you never used to do it, to drinking a lot more in a detrimental way. People who've had mental health disorders, such as eating disorders or depression, will see a resurgence or may see a resurgence. So having access to not just telemedicine to deal with any kind of physical problem, but also telecounseling through their EAP would be very valuable. And oftentimes the concept of EAP isn't a global concept everywhere. So international assignees may not be aware of that benefit. But I think the things you suggested, Laura, were spot on. I don't think I'd survive this if it weren't for my walks.
Thank you.
Well, as I'm fond of saying to anyone who will listen, if we emerge from this society that washes its hands more often, that can only be a good thing. So that alone, I think, will carry us into the future in a positive way. Some great information here, such great insight. Mercedes and Laura, I want to thank you both so much for your time. And I want to let our listeners know, if you have any questions about this podcast for either of our subject matter experts, you can send them to us at solutions@weikertwm.com. And that'll obviously be in the, you can see that in the podcast description as well. And we will ferret those questions to the proper resource. You can also visit our website at weikertworkforcemobility.com or visit Cultural Awareness at culturalawareness.com. And once again, I'd like to thank Laura and Mercedes for your time. Hope you both stay safe. And I also want to thank our listeners. We will see you next time on behalf of Weikert Workforce Mobility. My name is Tim McCarney, and thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Tim.
Thank you.